What's going on, y'all? It's a therapy session. Let's talk about it. Man, this is frustrating. Let's go. Let's talk about it. The Badgers fall flat again, lose to Illinois in a game that I really thought they would win. Justin did not, but I thought they would win this one. Let's talk about it. Take your comments. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. Your team every single day, good or bad, we are here. Like the weather, we are here every day, even though we're not always bringing the sunshine. Today's show is brought to you by FanDuel. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And let's talk about it. Wisconsin drops a 10-point game to Illinois at home. We got Justin on the show. Justin, it probably wasn't the best timing for me to release an episode yesterday talking about the reasons to be optimistic about the basketball team.
You and I agree a lot on a lot of things about, you know, how this season is going. And you kind of threw out there, hey, you know, maybe it turns today and, you know, things go forward. And my exact words to you were, I don't believe in the talent level of this team. And that's why I don't see them doing it. It's just too difficult. Every time this team seems to go on a spurt and pull ahead in a game, they're just not talented enough to continue that. And that's what we're kind of seeing is even today they had a nice run against Illinois. And the second that that onslaught ended, Illinois just turned it back on and Wisconsin couldn't score. And that's just kind of where we're at. Like, none of the guys are consistent enough scorers. Nobody is a guy who you can look at. We're a team filled with complementary pieces, is, I guess, the best way to take it. There's nobody that you feel comfortable with when you say, I need a bucket, this person can go get you a bucket.
Yeah, I think I was talking about it in the Discord. I feel like this team has a couple Bs and some Cs. There's no A on this team. Right. And even some of the Bs.
Yeah, they're probably B minuses. Yeah.
They're not playing up to their level. Or, yeah, as you said, they're probably B minuses. You know what's most frustrating to me about this loss, Justin? We were talking about it, and you were right. I was wrong on this game. You were right. The most frustrating part to me is this is a game the Badgers had to have. Like, you have to, or let me put it, you have to be competitive. Like, you can't let a team go on a 22-4 run in the second half at home. When you get your starters back, you've lost 5 of 6. This has to be a back against the wall. If we're going to carve out this season, we got to win home games against 14-6 Big Ten team. And they weren't competitive. That this was a 10-point game. This felt like a 15-20-point game.
Yeah, it did. When they hit the run the second time after we took the lead for a second, it seemed like when they hit 10 points, I'm like, this game's over. We just don't have it in us to make that kind of run and come back again. The team, when we came into this game and we knew this one, the reason why I didn't feel good about it when we were setting into it was that I felt like Illinois, the first time we played them, basically every person on their team could go and get to the rim or get to the line against us whenever they wanted. And I still feel that way after this game. Like, they are more athletic. They're had a far easier time getting downhill. And yeah, Mayer had a pretty good game. Or Meyer, but he was able to get to the rim a little bit too. And like, they have a bruiser on the inside, and Wisconsin just lacks the, I'm not going to say we're bad defensively. I just don't feel like we're cohesive right now. Like, this is a team that has to play good team defense. I'd say Klesmet's probably the one guy you would say is an above average on ball defender. Everyone else is kind of meh.
See, the frustrating part with me, and you might be right, maybe I overrated some players. I think it feels like this team, for whatever reason, cohesive is a good word that you used, isn't playing up to their defense potential. Because the offensive stuff I expected this year, we said it before the season, I said expect long offensive droughts because this team is going to struggle to score if your best ISO scorer is Tyler Wall or Chucky Hepburn. However, like, I thought this team defensively would be really good. Because I thought Chucky Hepburn was a better on-ball defender than he's played. Tyler Wall, I thought, could guard on-ball 1-4 a little bit better. Klesmet, I thought, would be better. Yeah. I thought Davis would be better defensively. And, like, teams typically do not get downhill against the Badgers like teams have done in this six-game stretch. And it's something is not – whether it's
– Yeah. The help defense hasn't been good. Like nobody's there to cut off the guy the second he rounds the corner, and he's getting all the way to the rim. Like, listen, this is the Bucks play similar defensive style to what Wisconsin does. It's pack line defense. We're gonna drive you there. We want somebody who's gonna be a rim protector. Now, Crowell's not a great rim protector. He's not a shot blocker, but he's a big body that gets in somebody's way that stops them from being able to get all the way to the rim. Now, obviously, today we struggle with some foul trouble. But I think the bigger issue is that both of those guys had somebody more athletic than them. Mm-hmm. You know, Crowell was dealing with a bull in a china shop, and you had Wall, who's dealing with a 6'9", lanky guy who can jump and run. And those are just not the type of guys you want on. The size differential in this game was a huge problem, because you have Connor playing up to a guy who's 6'7". And we just don't have anybody on our bench that can fill that role.
No, that depth is just not there this year. And it's funny. We just talked about defense for a while. The team, we still only give up 61 points, right? I mean, the issue is still the offense. Even though the defensive issues are here and there, the issue is still the fact that, to your point, we literally can't – we just can't score sometimes. We make everything so difficult. We do have a bunch of comments I want to get to. But just now, we always do these reaction shows for basketball, and we do give a game ball out. What's the positive in this game for you? Who's a player that stepped up? What's something that you take away from this? Say, yeah, that at least was fun.
Klezmet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he has a solid game. I think he had 12 points, 7 boards.
Started off really well.
Yeah. The game was 20-16 at the half. That tells you all you need to know. It's really hard to give a game ball on that. That's like, that is legit junior high halftime score. Like in 16 minute halves when you're playing like 8 minutes or whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely brutal. And Con Knipple was in the, visiting today. I'm sure he was thrilled at the high flying action.
Like, listen, we score 16 first half points, you can get 12 of them.
Yeah, right. what is your frustration level at right now? Because you kind of expected this game. This unfolded kind of how you thought it would. So this wasn't a surprise to you.
My frustration level right now is I'm kind of over the season. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to, like, think that I don't have any, like, I won't be excited if things turn. I just don't see it with the roster that we currently have. I don't see anybody that we can hang our hat on and be like, this person's going to carry us. We have guys that can do it for a couple game spurts, but nobody that can consistently be the guy or really feels like they want to go take it. Like, last year we had Johnny win and take it. Even in the games where he wasn't super efficient, he put up points. Mm-hmm. We don't have anybody that when they're not super efficient, that they still put up a decent, stat line overall. Wall's probably the closest to that. He's a guy but the problem I've had with him is that he just, when he gets the ball in the post, he just never seems to kick it back out. Like it's there. Yeah.
Not as much as he should, I would think. Mm-hmm. And I think we probably underestimated the impact, and I talked about this, but Davis took up so much gravity. Opposing defenses all were helping. Mm-hmm. We're blowing up screens with him, and it just created a lot of looks for Hepburn and Wall. Those looks aren't there this year. You have to beat the primary defenders now, and we just aren't able to do it.
Funny part was our shooting is so much better this year.
I know.
On open looks. If we had this last year, the difference on that team last year would have been night and day. The outside shooting would have made us probably win 3 or 4 more games, and we probably could have been a dark horse Elite Eight team last year.
Yeah, I mean, the shooting and the depth would have helped, but that team had a lot of pieces last year. Mm-hmm. Namely, had a piece, right? Yeah. Davis. But Davison was a piece of that as well.
That's what they're missing. They're missing an alpha dog. Like, and I've said, kind of this season, the whole thing, the actually most frustrating thing for this team this year has been watching every team we play have a guy who's roughly 6'6", that Wisconsin has literally no one. Yeah. Like CG in 2 years might have been able to defend that guy. He's nowhere remotely strong enough right now to play the guys that we have. And we haven't even played a team like Rutgers or anybody else who's going to have some men at that position that he's going to have to cover, and it's going to be a problem for him.
Yeah, let's be honest too. Like, you and I really love Connor. Connor he is not good defensively.
No. He can be a little crafty and he's got quick hands, but he's really struggling with strength right now.
Yep. Which we kind of expected as well. We're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back and get into your comments, a la carte, bang them out, a bunch of stuff in there, a bunch of positive stuff in there. I kid. There's nothing positive in that comment section, but lots of stuff to touch on for sure, including some concerns about where the shot distribution is. We're going to get into that next. Mm-hmm. Great guard a little bit. That's coming up next on the show. Really do appreciate everybody being here. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends, new friends, by the way. FanDuel, if you haven't used them, they are incredible. They are our new sports book. They are America's number one sports book. And the NFL playoffs are here. I've talked about it a lot. It's a great time to get on Sportsbook. You get $150 free bets guaranteed with a $5 bet. Win or lose, $150 in your pocket to make more bets, to earn a little more money, to have more fun with the action. Sign up at FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlays. And, you know, obviously playoffs are tomorrow. I'm in on the Niners +2.5. Let me know where you're at with that. I bet with my heart anyway. That's kind of how I roll. I could never bet against my teams. I'm curious in the comments if you ever do that. I never in my life have bet against the Badgers, the Niners, the Suns, the Braves. I cannot do it, even when I know they're going to lose. And there's been plenty of those times. But that's where I'm at. I'm on the Niners +2.5. All in an app that's safe, secure, too breezy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 for free in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Thank you all for tuning into these shows, these therapy shows. Listen, part of being a fan is the pain of it, and we go through this together, and that's what these therapy shows are for, to talk about it. Justin, I want to get into the comments, but I just want to reiterate, I'm so frustrated that with the starting unit in here that this game still fell apart in a game that they had to win at home. I just, mm-hmm. It feels like this team – it just doesn't feel like the heart is there almost. And I hate to question that because I'm not in the locker room, but it feels like there's nobody in there that's like, we can't lose this game. Like, cut harder, hit the glass, stay in front of your man, guard your yard, all those cliches. But there's no juice right now. And even our boring teams had juice. Like, our boring teams weren't going to lose at home to this Illinois team. This is not a great Illinois team.
Well, the comparison that I made was, this feels like a Dick Bennett team without the defense. So we were scoring 50 points a game, but just, you know, always giving up more than we're putting up. It's just the offense. And this is one of the points that I made. People have been talking about stylistically and everything, what Wisconsin has to do. And well, we can't run because, you know, we can't change the style because we don't have the guys anyways. Listen, there are things you can do to help a team like this that is going to struggle in the half court sets. You have zero people that can take somebody off the bounce. What you're going to need to do is you're going to have to play more aggressive and pull it back if you don't have it, but you need to push the ball and try to get to a team before they can get settled and locked in on defense, because that's where you're going to get your easy shots with a team like this. Because right now you're not getting easy, clean looks. And because of that, you're playing half-court sets, letting them set up, and you're playing against a team that is more athletic, bigger, longer, and faster than you. And unless everything goes perfectly in your execution, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. But they're not going to push it this year. Like, that's just not in Greggard's DNA, which I think is one of his faults. He's not able to adjust very well outside of his comfort zone. Dope Benjamin says, I definitely need some therapy today, guys. Very disheartened. This team is regressing. This offense is anemic. Dark Ray says these last few games are trying to prove that you need a good recruiter to be a good team. That's very well said. You need both. We're going to really quick, but before we, I should have mentioned at the beginning, on Tuesday, we're going to get the quad pod together, which is me, Justin, Scott, and Rasheed. And we're going to talk deeper into Greggard, state of the program, where we think this is headed in the future. So we're not going to get as much into the fire guard comments like Brian has here tonight. We are going to talk about that on Tuesday and kind of the whole dynamic there. So just don't think we're ignoring that aspect. We have a bigger show coming up on that. Let's see here. Christopher Gerber says, can you think of a season, Justin, during the Bo Ryan era when the team was struggling this much and still made the tournament?
Oh, man. Didn't they have a year where they started out really rough and they ended up winning conference?
Was that the year Greggard took over for Bo Ryan? They started off
No. This was like early in – I thought that was early in Bo's run.
So one of Bo's teams I know lost four or five I want to say in a row and made the tournament. I would have to go back and look at that. Chris, it's a great question. I don't have it off the top of my head.
Well, the 2014 team, the 2013-14 team had a spurt where they lost like 5 of 6 or something like that, but then they reeled off like 14 in a row or something like that.
And let's be honest, Bo Ryan is a Hall of Fame coach and Greg Gard is not that.
Well, and that team had Frank Kaminsky, even junior Frank Kaminsky. Like, I love Stephen Crowell, and there's people that want to compare stats. They are night and day different as players.
Yeah, Frank the Tank was incredible. David Budd says, please explain why walk-on Gilmore is taking more shots than Asigian.
I can't.
Same.
to be quite blunt. Listen, there is no reason whatsoever that Connor should ever have less than 10 shots in a game. I think it should be closer to 15, to be honest, with his efficiency. But it's not happening. I don't know what to say there for a team that struggles to score. It's beyond me why we're not trying to put the ball in his hands more often or set him up.
It's crazy, Justin. And this was honestly kind of the crux of my whole, not trying to pat myself on the back at all, because this sucks. Honestly, losing games non-competitively sucks. But what I did say is you're going to insert Connor into the starting lineup and take him off the bench. You're not really going to change your offense. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't think it would have the impact people thought it would. And I think you're
I don't disagree with that. I never figured that it would change much other than the fact that he gets the prestige of being the starter.
Right. But now you see those depth, there's nothing up the bench, and you go through these stretches where if the starters are off the court. It happened in the Northwestern game. There was like an 8-minute stretch with the bench coming in. You didn't score. It's because, well, Connor's not on the bench anymore.
I think what we're seeing that's the biggest struggle, and you and I spoke about last season's team a little bit, that the team wasn't as good. Like, Johnny carried that team. And you and I felt that way most of the season, that the pieces were solid, but we both felt, I think, that the team would have had a losing record if Johnny wasn't on that team last year. And I think we're kind of seeing that team with John, you know, what the difference that Johnny Davis made is that he's probably 4 more wins this year right now.
Oh, easily. Because you would win those close games against Kansas, Northwestern, Penn State if you had Johnny Davis, for sure. And you were not getting blown out by 20 against Indiana for dog. Mm-hmm. Thomas Miller says, agree with that. Don't badger me. Team is clearly regressing. You know what's weird, Justin? And I think Thomas is hitting on this. The team is regressing. Like, you just had a game 2 games ago where your starting point guard took 3 shots, right? Mm-hmm. Like, something is broken. You mentioned the word cohesion. I think that's a great word. Something, even agreeing and understanding that this is not a high ceiling team. Like, we all get that. Mm-hmm. Nobody thought this team was going to win the Big Ten this year, even the optimists. But we're not even playing up to our ceiling of whatever that is, right? Because mm-hmm. you can't have a game where your starting point guard takes 3 shots and then the next game he takes 14. Like, something is...
When he's one of your big 3 players and you're missing another nice piece in Klesmet, yeah, definitely not.
Let's see. Again, Jimmy Widmore says fire guard. We're gonna talk a whole lot of guard on Tuesday, I promise. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Brian says fans want guard gone. What chances do you see it happening if UW misses the tournament again? I think this is a good question for today without getting into the guard stuff. If this bottoms out a little bit, they don't make the tournament, is guard fired after this year?
I think the only thing that would truly get a guard fired this year would be the team flat out imploding. Like, if we lose out or go lose like 8 of 10 to finish the year and look uncompetitive, I think at that point, if you're the AD, you have to take a look at it and be like, listen, this isn't working. Whatever you're doing is not, because, you know, you and I talked about the Chris thing about not wanting to fire a coach, or that the recruiting class didn't matter mm-hmm. with football. When it comes to basketball and with what we're looking at here, to an extent, to me, at least for in-state recruiting, it matters a little bit in that if you let this drop, you're potentially going to make it harder to win back those kids that are in-state unless you make a really good hire. You want this to maintain somewhat of a level of being still a prestigious program. You don't want to drop off a cliff and have to rebuild it so that they're like, can I take you seriously, so to speak.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. The continuity of a program maintaining that recruiting line is important. I still think, and Brian, it's a good question. I think it's a valid question. Justin, I think you agree with this. We never want to be people who are like, no, we can't talk about that or that's silly. It's a valid question. Mm-hmm. I think the chance is pretty low, though. I think it's
Like I said, they have to look bad, like not competitive, and like there's just no answer for it to be like, listen, I can't overlook this anymore.
I think what's in his favor, by the way, and I mentioned this offline with you, people bring up the football dynamic, and Chris, listen, I'm not going to put anything past Chris McIntosh at this point. That dude, that dude moves quickly when he wants to, but football is a bigger priority than basketball.
It is.
And, you know, there'll be more patience with basketball, in my opinion. It could be wrong, but that's where I'm at.
Depends on what, I guess it really truly depends on what he feels about guard. If he feels that guard is a championship level, and I mean champion, I'm not talking Big Ten titles. I'm talking about, does he feel like he's capable of making deep runs in the tournament? Now I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to question whether that's a possibility.
I think
because I don't think we've seen the roster management that leads me to believe we can assemble enough talent to make a deep, deep run into March.
Yeah, I think it's fair. Jimmy Widmore says Mac won't stand for this. And it could be, you could be right. Like Mac surprised all of us with the decisiveness that he moved with. So Nicholas Freymeyer says this team is the reason I drink. Listen, cheers to that. Probably can't see it. And let's take a quick break. Come back into your comments. We got a bunch of them. We're going to get to a lot of them today. Nicholas, man, bottoms up. A lot of that this year. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends of the show. So we really do appreciate everybody tuning in. All right, let's get Justin back on. Appreciate all y'all listening to the show. Everybody jumping in the lives, everybody in the comments, everybody in the Discord. You guys are awesome. Appreciate Justin jumping in as always. Let's talk about Tyler Wahl a little bit here, because Don't Badger Me says Tyler's struggling has been a bit out of control. I don't think he's played up to our standards, Justin, but no. I feel like so really quick, tell me if I'm off base on this comparison. I feel like I talked about Graham Mertz a lot being in a broken system, and he wasn't playing well, but the system around him was broken. I feel like the system right now is a little broken. There's not a lot of depth. There's not a playmaking point guard. So teams are able to collapse in Tyler Wahl a little bit more. He feels more of a pressure because we go down these scoring droughts. I don't know. I feel like the system isn't helping him out either.
I feel like he's got a little bit of tunnel vision. I think he's not a natural scorer. So I think that he takes it upon himself to feel like I need to get a shot up here because we need it. And he doesn't have a great feel for when he's in an opportunity where, you know, it's there to be taken. Like some guys are natural scorers where it's like, I feel, you know, where the soft spots are. And it doesn't feel like Wahl has that. And at times last year, he was just so much better with his footwork at getting a defender into an uncomfortable spot. I feel like more often than not, Tyler's getting in an uncomfortable spot and is putting up shots off balance or whatever that just are ugly shots that it's like, no, this is, we need a good part of his problem is I think that because he's not kicking it back out, he's not keeping defenders off him because you have to make them stay honest. And how you do that is you have them get burned and then they're like, okay, I can't come help quite so quickly, which gives you a chance to move.
Yeah. He's definitely more of a focal point too. He's game planned against better. He's scouted against better. I remember at the beginning of last year, teams were still running him off the 3-point line and you drive by them. You know, his offensive warts, and this is true for all players, become more evident the more they play. And yeah, I think your tunnel vision point is pretty correct as well. Don't Badger Me says Max was the best player today. And he hasn't played in 2.5 games. He probably was the best player today. Yeah, agreed. Let's see here. Keep going. Here we talked about this. Louis Maroney said his Sejan is a defensive liability.
You're not putting Connor in the game for his defensive ability. You're hoping that he can tread water there and outscore his man. And this is one of the few games this season where Connor's man has scored more points than him. He's been a net positive on the court. Like there's very few guys that have gone out there and scored more than the 11 or 12 or whatever he's put up. And just last game, he had 19. I will hearken to guess that whoever he was covering maybe had 10.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's magnified, right, by the way we play. Every point is so friggin' critical that, you know, he gets beat on a backdoor cut or he gets beat in a straight line drive or he's late on a rotation. Everyone's like, oh, you can't give up that point because it's so hard for us to get it back on the other end.
Or it's abused by a 6'7 guy when he's 6'4.
I mean, that can't happen. And Thomas Miller's talking to that as well. You know, the expectation, I would say this, the expectation for a freshman guard coming in, especially a 6'3", 6'4 guy, shouldn't be a defensive stopper at the Big Ten level in the first year. So I think we can acknowledge there's a bit of an issue there, with while also acknowledging that that should be expected. And you're right, his offensive side outweighs that for sure.
Well, we were hitting the portal in the offseason. I don't understand why we couldn't see that a 6'6", 6'7" wing was something that we need. Those guys were out there. And they didn't have to be a super high scorer. They just need to be athletic enough to be able to hold that spot and at least give us something, from whether it be, you know, energy points.
Yeah.
You know, we could think of having a 6'7" guy who's capable of blocking a shot here and there and running around a little bit on the defensive end and getting into a guy who's a, you know, a bigger dude that's more muscled up, because we don't have, like, even the guys we have that are in that 6'4" range, they're not brutes by any means.
No. I mean, a guy like Khalil Iverson on this team, a guy who gave 8 hustle points a game, 4 rebounds, like, he would be a huge help. And he wasn't a great player.
Yeah. But,
I hear you, man. Here's a great question. Justin, this is from Jeff Olson. Thank you, Jeff. When was the last time we got to the rim and finished through contact?
When was Johnny's last game?
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, Wallace had a couple end ones this year, but they're more in the post.
We were not hitting free throws anyways. Does it matter?
It's also a great point. Let's see. Rio C says we can't make open shots. I feel like – I don't know if that's completely true, although it definitely feels like we go through the spurts, right?
Yeah.
We're not consistently hitting.
The problem is that we're not getting – like, we struggle so much that the wide open misses are magnified by the fact that we're just not consistently scoring in general. So it's not like we have a couple of, you know, times where we run down, we get a basket in the paint, and then, you know, the next time down we miss a wide open three. It's like we've missed our last 5 shots in the paint and now we get a wide open three, and it's like, this is a big moment. No.
Yeah. It's sorry. I'm just trying to find a comment I had here. Oh, here we go. This is from Scott, and we absolutely refuse to play zone, refusal to evolve. Scott's pushing my buttons here. He's right, by the way. He knows it drives me nuts that we refuse to do anything different defensively. I think it's –
With the way that they were abusing us getting in the paint today, yeah, it was a major problem, and we should have done it. And Meyer was a problem because he was hitting from the outside. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, probably – look at it this way. I'm not sure it changes much if we go to a zone in terms of his shooting – but it probably would have held the rest of the guys down a lot more.
I could go on. I talk about this a lot, so I try not to belabor the point. I think it's just a level of stubbornness that a zone is a very effective. It's him and Bo Ryan, man, they treat it like it's either illegal or nefarious or shady. Like, a zone is a very effective defense to use as a changeup. They use it
especially if you have a limited athletically team.
And the other team is going on a run. A zone is a great way to change it up. And the fact that you refuse to do it, to have it in your back pocket, to switch to it, it is beyond frustrating to me. It's one of my biggest frustrations with Greg Gard. But he's not going to change, I don't think. I don't think that's who he is, unfortunately. Let's keep going here. A bunch more comments. Let's see. We shot 18% in the first half in front of the sold-out Kohl Center. How was the crowd today for those that were there, by the way?
There were people saying that it was actually a pretty good crowd, but I think there was a lot of fans from Illinois that were up too. So somebody made the comment that season ticket holders may be selling their tickets. If that's the case, listen, that will be something that Mac notices. McIntosh will notice if it looks like we're starting to give up our home court advantage because fans are tired of what if they're seeing out there, and that will catch his attention for sure.
Yeah, although Mac might be distracted by for a little while with all the 4-star quarterbacks coming to Madison. His gaze may be like, you know, like Sauron. His gaze is over here while basketball's burning into the dirt over here. So I don't know. Brian D says, how are the kids coming in next year going to help this team? Justin, this is something you and I have talked a lot about and gone back and forth. I'll let you kick off on this one. And I assume you're talking about the 23 class, Brian, with Yaldin, Winter, and Blackwell.
Ryan and I have a little slight disagreement on this one. A lot is dependent on whether Wall comes back or not. If Wall doesn't come back, I don't see Gus and Winter eating up the production that you are getting from Wall. If Wall comes back, they definitely bolster the front court. Like, if you're getting bench players that suddenly a guy like Gus can come in and give you 7 or 8 points off the bench, that's a big deal next year. if Wall leaves and you're trying to put together 14 points or 12 or whatever between Winter and Gus, that might be asking a lot, especially given that defensively it's going to take a step back. And people need to set some expectations with this. Gus could be really good next year and still not average what Connor's averaging this year, because I think it's going to be harder for him to get opportunities.
I'm higher on Gus than you are.
And I think he could average 8 points as a freshman, and that's a great freshman year for a guy.
Better. I think he's going to do better than that. If he gets the
opportunity. He could. He may very well. I'm not saying that that's his talent. I'm saying that he's breaking into a league with a bunch of men that he's going to be playing against versus high school kids, which is going to make a difference.
So don't badger me. You and I are in the same boat here. He says Gus will be a star for us. He'll help immediately. Here, the only thing I'd say with Gus.
I think he will be a star for us. I just don't know if it's going to be as a freshman.
Well, I don't think he'll be a star as a freshman, but you talked about, let's say even if Wall leaves, you talked about the tunnel vision, some of the frustrations with Wall. I'll tell you who doesn't have tunnel vision. Like, and again, it's hard to project, but Gus Yaldin will fly the ball around, great IQ, really good passer. The thing about Gus that I think is a little unusual for a freshman big is he is a physically developed dude. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's not
a wide body.
Around. Yeah, he's going to come
he's,
in.
He's effectively same build as me, but at 6'8".
Yeah, so there's a reason they call him the Gus Bus, and it's not just because Gus rhymes with bus. The guy brings a load. He's athletic, skilled, good shooter, great passer. He's going to play next year. He's going to help, regardless of Wall. So
He can shoot from the outside, which is a big deal, because we don't have a big right now that can consistently hit anything from the outside. And Winter, to be honest, can shoot well enough to also do that next year.
Yep.
It's just whether he can be a force in the paint at all.
We said this before on the show, but I just want to bring it up in case people missed it. We had Jason Jordan on the show, the Sports Illustrated basketball recruiting director, and he said he never went to an open gym where Gus Yaldin didn't walk out of the best big man in that gym. And he's talking, there's 4- and 5-star big men in these gyms. So I think he's going to be a star. I think he's going to help a lot next year. Bo Dragon says, sorry, I'm late. I was busy getting gray guard job applications. Did I miss not athletic enough in recruiting? Nope. We nailed those. We definitely talked about those, Bo. Not athletic enough and recruiting issues. I agree. Let's see. Here's another comment with Gus Yaldin. Listen to Ryan's interview with him. Terrific basketball IQ. Tons of talent. I think we're all, whether you think it's going to happen quickly or not, I think we're all Gus Yaldin fans here. Let's keep going. Monty D, bringing it up, said all you want in Connor to start, he should come off the bench and play starter minutes. See, I don't think that's the answer either. I think
the issue is that this team struggles. It's not a super talented team.
And this is the whole point I made when people were saying you need to move him. I said, you're just creating an opening somewhere else. Like whether he starts or he's on the bench, to me, is not the biggest issue. The biggest issue is there's just not enough scores to cover both.
You need Connor. If you want to change something, it should be you need to decide that Connor needs to be seeing more looks. And I think that's a legitimate issue, because he's the one guy on the team that's like, I have no problem with taking as many shots as you want me to get up. And everyone else is not a natural scorer. Chucky has a great jumper. Like, he hits it at a very high rate, but he's not a natural scorer. Connor's a natural scorer. He's a guy that you could run off screens and you could have him running curls, you know, off the elbows on the free throw line. He'd probably chew that up.
He's a great feel.
Yeah. He has such a good feel for where the defenders are not on the court that few guys have. Like, so many guys run into people or don't stop where they should. He has that feel for like where things are going to open.
Yeah, and if you notice, he has the ability to score in the mid-range. He has a one-hand floater. He can stop and pop. He can create some space. He can hit from deep. He's not quite.
He draws fouls when he's in the paint.
He's not quite a finisher at the rim yet, but he's like a 2.5 level scorer.
But he at least gets to the line. Really good.
Yeah, I agree. And at the line, he's almost automatic. Slim Lewis says, laughing at the Dick Bennett without a defense. That's freaking hilarious. Should be on a t-shirt. Oh, man. It'd be sad, man, if you start seeing those t-shirts
pop. I was waiting for somebody to create the t-shirt that says Wisconsin basketball, setting basketball back 50 years since 1990, whatever.
Bryce Tolfrey says, I'm disappointed we could not do a better job recruiting after winning 2 Big Ten championships in the last 3 years. And that's on guard, right?
But we haven't had what I would call – listen, Bo Ryan built this program in a lot of ways, but for the level of prestige that we are, we don't remotely recruit to where we are. We've been a top 20 program now for roughly 20 years. I don't think we've ever recruited remotely that close. And I don't view it as we should be pulling five stars. People that think that we can start chasing those guys down and the one and dones, I don't want them. But what I would like to see is consistently filling out classes with four stars and guys that can play that want to stick around 2 or 3 years. I think I'm fine with that. That raises our talent level immensely. And suddenly you have a lot more opportunity to, you know, you have a lot more room for error in these games. When you have four guys out there that can score, it makes a huge difference.
Well, to be fair, though, that is kind of the 23 class, right? Winter and Yaldin are both four-star guys. Blackwell's a three-star. That could be a class that helps. Now, 24 is incredibly important as well. Like, 23 is not going to fix the issues by itself.
Well, part of the difference between Greg Gard and Bo Ryan that I've seen is that Bo Ryan actually had quite a few four-stars on his teams. Like, there were years. I looked at the roster right now. Right now, we have one four-star on our team, and that's Chucky. He's the only composite four-star that we have. We had Carlson last year, too, but other than those two, nobody else is a four-star.
That seems like a problem.
Yeah.
Murph, like, speaking of recruiting and dreaming, Murph says, imagine Chucky, Asijan, Yaldin, Konkanipple, Janowski, and Winter on the same Wisconsin team. Yeah. So he's filtering some of the 23 and 24 recruiting classes here, and it'll be an upperclassman Chucky. But that, if that happened, that group right there, that'd be the best shooting team Wisconsin's had since those 14-15 teams.
Oh, yeah. The bigger issue is Wisconsin needs people with a natural scoring feel, or they need to start getting athletes that are going to be guys that can play defense at a high level and bring energy and score points that way. Like, there are plenty of teams out there that just are like, hey, we're going to out-athlete the other team and we're going to run. Marquette does it in a lot of ways. They have a point guard with a really good feel, and they throw a bunch of other athletes out there. So, I mean, this – I'm not saying I want to be them, but I'm saying there are ways – other ways to get scoring on the court if you're not getting guys who are super high-skilled, which is – the super high-skilled teams are typically going to be Duke or Virginia. You know, Tony Bennett actually recruits at a very high level for what he does. He's basically Greg Gard on steroids when it comes to his system.
He's the pinnacle of what Greg Gard could eventually, like, that's it. That's the ceiling for, but I don't know if Gard can get to that ceiling. I don't think he can, to be honest.
I mean, it helps being in an area that's a high recruitment territory in, you know, East Coast near so many large cities.
This is an interesting one to me. And again, we're going to get more into the Greg Gard stuff on Tuesday, but Gard has to know the writing's on the wall. He just watched Chris get dumped.
He just won a title last year. I don't believe that.
But you got to imagine seeing Chris get fired with a new AD has to factor into the back of his head somewhere. Somewhere deep inside the recesses of we'll never run in transition. And, you know, somewhere deep back in there, that has to weigh in. I got it. Because he's not unaware of what Chris had done at Wisconsin, obviously.
I think he's got to be aware that the voices are getting loud because of what we just saw. And I listen, that is a factor. People need to understand that part of the reason why people are having such a short leash on Gard right now is the fact that we just went through it in football. We just saw an A-plus hiring in football, and we just saw a massive influx of talent added to the football team because of that change. That kind of proved to us that, hey, Wisconsin's capable of this. And in basketball, it's not totally different. In my opinion, Wisconsin should be recruiting at a top 20 level for basketball. They've proven enough in the last 20 years. Like, listen, if we go slightly back over 20 years, we have three Final Four visits and a national title game. Wisconsin is one of the best programs in the country. They may not have the pedigree of the Kentuckys and Kansas and everybody else, but they're pretty much on the next tier.
Start acting like it.
Yeah.
Right. Like that. I mean, that's what we talked about with football too. Start acting like it. You're not a small town. Oh, shucks. I hope we can overcome the big boys type program. Start acting like a friggin' big boy.
They're no worse than third in the Big Ten in terms of pedigree. You probably have Michigan and Michigan State ahead of them. Indiana, other than that,
if we're talking pedigree, Indiana's
Indiana, you're going back a long ways for Indiana, man. I'm not talking about where you are in terms of like as a program historically. I'm talking about like last 20 years. What have you done as a program to justify where your place in the country.
That might be its own show, because I don't know if I have Wisconsin that high. But let's okay. put that. To
that's
the
fair.
I, either way, you and I are on the same page. Like that's we're arguing semantics there. Either way, yeah. you and I are on the same page that Wisconsin is not. They're a big boy program. They need to start yeah. recruiting and acting like it. And we're mm-hmm. on the same page there. We're gonna take a couple more comments here. Again, I apologize for not getting to all of them, but Justin, I'm gonna put this one up for you, because this is something we've talked about. Hugh Scallon, friend of the show. Hugh, thank you for jumping on, says, asking for a friend. Wall, Crowd, Chucky freezing out Connor, question mark. Doesn't seem like they ever kick it out or rotate the ball to him.
I mean, I've felt that way since early in the season, and I felt like it was simply because of kind of some of the things he does. He is a brash kid. It wouldn't surprise me if the upperclassmen bristle a little bit at it with him being as flashy as he is with some of his attitude. I'm not saying that that's the case. I know nothing internally about what's going on with any of it, but I've seen too many times when it looks like he's open and they have to know that he's the best scorer out of them. Like you certainly, have to, you yeah. play this guy's daily. I'm yeah. sure he lights them up in practice on a consistent basis. You can't tell me that they're not like, he's going to hit this for me.
They certainly have to know he's the best shooter. Like there's yeah. no doubt about that. A couple more questions here. We're going to finish it up. Don't Badger Me says he was National Coach of the Year last year. How could he possibly be fired this quickly? He deserves a mulligan. Don't Badger Me. You and I are on the same page with this one. But we, are going to get into this deeper on Tuesday. And there's a lot of nuance to this question yeah. is very hard in the conversation.
It's so, not as simple as just he has a bad record this year. It's that you need to take a look at the totality and where you feel like changes can be made and what can be fixed. And whether you feel like what the ceiling legitimately is.
Joe Bird has an interesting comment as well. Can't see him getting rid of Kristen Gard in the same year. I think that's a lot for even McIntosh with having nailed the Fickell hire. I don't know if he's planning on firing both major coaches in the same year in season or right after, right? I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't.
I don't either. Like I said, it would take a lot. It would take like effectively a nuclear meltdown for the program.
Brian says Crowd was really good today. That's awesome. And Don't Badger Me said crowd was great today. They wanted a reason to cheer. I feel bad for them. Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of things. I mean, just watching from my living room that I got excited about. So I hear you there. Oh, Thomas Miller, I love this comment. They aren't athletic enough to play zone. Too slow to recover when the ball is swung around the perimeter. See, Thomas Miller, first of all, appreciate you always jumping on the show. I disagree heartily. I think the zone, you can use a zone to cover up athletic issues and you get isolated yeah. more man-to-man at times. But mm-hmm. even more, the bigger point I'd make is a lot of zone is man-to-man principles. If you're playing zone, you're still manning up on people when they come into your area. You still have to stay in front of people. You still have to read and react and recover both man and zone. So mm-hmm. the athletic limitations are going to impact both of them. My bigger issue is the zone can be used to throw the opposing offense off. When they're in a rhythm, you bust
making them think,
and they have to adjust. They're going to go into a different offense, and sometimes they don't recognize it right away. You can steal 15 seconds off a shot clock. You know, it's just one of those things you can use as a tool in your tool belt. And it frustrates me that Gard never goes there. That's my biggest frustration with it. Sorry, that was a bit of a diatribe. And Thomas, I love you, man. You're always on the show, and your points.
The last point I was going to make on this is this: how many games has Wisconsin been shot out of by the other team just killing us from three? It's been the rim. All season long, it's been getting killed off the dribble.
And Jim Sainsbury says they have a bad year. All you guys go ape about it. Again, like I think I'm not in the fire Greg Gard boat, yeah. you know, and I'm not saying Justin, you are either. I think there's a whole conversation to be had about this, but I think Jim does have a salient point here. You want to share the Big Ten title last year. Now, people may not think that's as big a deal. People may think there's larger underlying issues, but this could just be an anomaly year. And next year, things are back to normal.
It could be, but my like, listen, I look at the roster itself, and I kind of – this is where I'm struggling and where I look at it from where I can see where you'd want to make a change. And it's simple as this. I don't see where we're going to highly fill out this roster and make it considerably better going into next year, especially if Wall leaves. And – because listen, overall, we have not seen in the time that Greg Gard has been the head coach, him go out, attack the transfer portal and bring in high level players. I mean, we can talk Potter. He's about the only one that we've seen that's come in and really made a huge difference. But other than Potter, we had the portal last year that we completely flubbed. We had multiple recruiting cycles where we underperformed in the class that we've brought in. And this is where I am right now with it. I'm giving him the opportunity on 24, but if he botches 24, then I have to start looking at him being like, listen, you can't close on high level targets. You're not bringing in the type of guys that we should be able to get at this program. And especially when you have the hometown aspect to feed these kids who probably grew up idolizing the program.
Yeah, I think it's probably pretty well said. All right, we're going to wrap it up there. We again, got a lot of comments I didn't get to, which I apologize for. P said, you got to hit the portal for depth. Thomas Miller, Bo Dragon, yeah. Sam Doctor, season ticket holder here. I was at the game today. It was the best crowd of the year, but it looks like we've scores. They won't pass to Connor.
I'm going to throw him one more up here.
Yeah, do it, please.
So Ryan Arnold, Wall won't leave. Where will he go? Not the NBA. Some guys just are done with college and want to move on. He might have job offers that are available to him once he's done with college. Or he could be saying, I want to go over to Europe and play for 10 years.
Yeah,
you know, some people are just over the college experience.
Now, I would say this. I think NIL helps in keeping guys in college. Like, he's going to make more money now. He doesn't have to go get that European basketball job. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm very interested to see what he's going to do. All right, we're going to wrap it up there. We're at 45 minutes. I feel like I'm keeping y'all hostage. Really do appreciate everybody jumping on these therapy sessions, hashing it out, chopping it up, building the community. Y'all are the best. Justin, as always, thank you. We're going to talk, let's see, Tuesday we're jumping on, we're diving into Greg Gard, State of the Union type of a situation. Are there parallels with Paul Chryst? Should he be fired? What he needs to do? Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a big Greg Gard conversation. If y'all want to jump in, I'm sure that'll be fun. Justin, thank you for jumping in, man. Thank you, everybody on the show, on Wisconsin, and let's talk again tomorrow. Rio C says, keep it going. I do wonder sometimes if we just kept talking and taking comments, at what point would I just fall over and die before the comments stop coming in? I don't know.
It depends on if we keep rotating in new people.
It's true. We'll have like a bullpen. We'll bring Rasheed in for the positivity.
There was a comment about Luke Fickell's shoes on here somewhere that I was hoping we would get to.
Oh, man, there's so many comments.
I can't find any more. They go through. We came through way too fast. You guys are doing a great job filling out.
I love it. All right, y'all. Appreciate it. Come join the Discord so we keep the conversation going. On Wisconsin, we'll talk tomorrow. We need 2-hour shows. I'll fall over, man.